What if I told you there's a way you could be a second shooter at a family session so you can see exactly how the photographer prepares, how they interact with their clients, what they say when they're posing, or when they choose to use fluid motion, what they do when kids might not cooperate or dad might not be in the session? What if I told you there's a way you can see what the gear is that they're using, where they're positioning themselves when they're shooting, what factors they're taking into consideration when they're shooting? What if I told you there was a way you could see what their straight out of camera images look like, and then you could see their editing process too, so you know exactly how they get those start to finish images and those polished ones you see in your Instagram feed? Now, what if I told you could be that second shooter without ever having to leave your house? What if I told you that not only do you get to watch it from home, but you didn't have to remember every single thing you were trying to learn the first time you watched it? What if you could watch and rewatch as much as you wanted? How would that improve your images, your posing, your confidence? Now, what if I told you there is a way you could be a second shooter not only for one photographer, but 26? That's exactly what you'll experience inside the 2024 Online Family Retreat. Your inspiration will soar, your art will improve, your posing will become more fluid, and your confidence is going to increase so, so much. And honestly, your clients are going to feel so much more comfortable. Head on over to themilkyway.ca/family retreat. It all gets underway May 29th, and we hope to see you there.
Since burning out, my definition has completely changed. Before, if you had asked me, success would have been like a pile of clients, a pile of money. It now means having the time to be successful in the other areas of my life. Being a successful wife, being a successful mom, having great friendships, having the time to bake or read or do whatever it is I want. So for me, that's 100% what success means, is having the systems in my business that allow me to walk away and take part in the other passions that I have. Yeah, I mean, money is great, but at the end of the day, time is you can't get it back. Money I'll always make back.
Welcome to the Art and Soul Show, where we dive into heart-opening chats on photography, business, life, and that messy in-between. I'm your host, Lisa DeJaso, a mom, a photographer, and entrepreneur, and I'll be sharing honest conversations and advice for photographers with insight on mindset, entrepreneurship, and creativity. The goal of this podcast is for you to be able to gain insights and strategies that will get you real results. Because let's face it, having a photography business can be lonely, but it doesn't have to be. This is the place you can go when you need a boost of encouragement, a kick in the pants, and inspiration to pick up your camera. This is the Art and Soul Show. Hello, my beautiful friends. Welcome back to the show. Today, I'm super excited to dive in with Noella Andres. She has run two successful photography businesses. But after her children started school, she decided it was time to pivot her career so that she could be more available for her family. Staying true to her photography roots, she launched an online business manager brand that allowed her to help other photographers tackle their back-end businesses. She now helps photographers launch, grow, and scale their photography businesses through her coaching, providing marketing strategies, and one-to-one mentorship. Welcome, Noella.
Hello. I'm so happy to be here.
I'm so happy to have you.
I love you and I adore you, and I've been stalking you forever, so I'm super excited.
Well, we just discovered before we even started recording that we were both Canadians. So we were pretty pumped, and we just found out Noella actually vacations in my area, which is pretty cool.
Yes. I wish I would have known earlier. Totally would have went knocking on your door.
Seriously. So tell us really who you are and what you're passionate about.
Well, like you said, my name is Noella. I have two kids. They're both kind of teenagers, 12 and 15. I have 10 chickens, two cats, and a dog. Was a photographer, like you said, for a long time. I'd say like between 8 and 10 years, I was doing wedding photography, which was a very fantastic option for me when my kids were little and I could stay at home with them, you know, Monday to Friday during the day, and then, you know, do my thing evenings and weekends. But as soon as they went to school, I never saw my kids, which I feel like is a problem a lot of photographers have and don't necessarily talk about as women. So I had to kind of pivot and find something that I could do that allowed me to stay home. I got really lucky and connected with this beautiful photographer out of Paris who filled my schedule up really quick. And so I kind of started helping her with all her back end work, doing blogging and social media and things like that. So that's kind of work related. But on another scale, I just built a home on an acreage, trying to dip my fingers into homesteading. which is why I have the chickens. Cool. Yeah, so we got 10 chickens last year and it's been an adventure and I'm kind of still obsessed with them. But yeah, really passionate about learning more about homesteading and like canning and gardening. I might have a dream of opening a flower farm. So we'll see how that goes. But that's right now what I'm really excited about.
I love it. Okay, my sister has chickens. So have you seen like the arms that you can get to put on the chickens?
My husband just sent me a picture of it, Kate, because I have a branding session of me coming up next week. And I'm like really crazy about my chickens lately. So everybody's sending me all these props and things that I got like little like fedoras for my chickens. I'm going to bring one into the house for the photo shoot. But yes, my husband sent me the arms. Yeah.
Have you seen the ones where they have like the little baby chicks and they make skirts out of like
the cupcake liners. Yes, like, I saw. I made a post once about my chickens and now I'm getting all the chicken memes sent to me. I love it though, because I'm trying with the chickens. And now with all the cost of eggs and all those memes, I'm like, you guys suckers, like I'm sitting in here with my buckets of eggs. It's great.
So I read recently that you have moved away from hustle culture, and I have really as well. So in what ways have you figured out how to work smarter and not harder? And what advice do you have for those that are still struggling on that hamster wheel?
Oh, good question. Because yes, like I burnt out really, really bad in 2018. Actually, I had a marketing agency. I had several staff members, like between 10 and 12, dozens of clients, and everything on the outside looked really great. But obviously on the inside, I was slowly dying a slow death. But I figured, you know, I learned a lot from that experience, and working smarter and not harder is definitely one of them. So I think my biggest takeaways from that was having systems in place. Mm-hmm. And I think as creatives, generally, we do not have a lot of really great systems in place, generally kind of go with the flow, maybe a little stereotype there. But I think systems for like culling, file management, backing images up, where you're storing certain things in your images, having automations. Again, there's so many systems right now that can automate things, you know, marketing strategy. There's automations we could do for that. Our CRMs like Honeybook or Dubsado, whatever it is we use. I was really impressed with your automations with the podcast that you have going out. Another one is just time chunking. I'm like the queen of time chunking. My phone is on Do Not Disturb. All my notifications are off when I'm in my little chunk, my little zone. So those are kind of the top threes, like systems, automations, and time chunking. But also the biggest takeaway for me was that knowing my why I'm even doing this. And I think a lot of when I ask my clients, what is your why? Often they'll give me kind of a generic response like, well, I want to make money, or I want to help families have beautiful photos. And I kind of turn around and I say, well, what's your personal why? Like, that's your business why, but why are you in this business? And understanding and knowing that really helped me. So for me, I started my business literally because I wanted more flexibility and I wanted more freedom in my life. And when I started getting more and more and more and more busy and I was letting my clients run my life, I really had to check in with myself and why am I doing this? It's actually producing the opposite result of why. So I think really digging deep and figuring out why are you personally in this industry? Money's not the answer. Like money is people we want to six-figure businesses, but that's not really why you're doing this.
No. Not at all. And for me, it's funny because I had done that and I was like, honestly, I just want some recognition. Mm-hmm. I want to be seen. I want to feel like seen.
Yeah.
And that was like the entire reason I started my business and probably the reason why I ran myself ragged for years. And like, and finally when I was like, okay, like maybe is what you're doing actually working? Are you making yourself sick trying to be seen, right?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, like you got to question yourself and say, is this actually worth this? For me, it wasn't. So
yeah,
I've changed things.
Me either. And I closed my entire agency down. I said goodbye to some of the most amazing clients I've ever worked with. But at the end of the day, I wasn't showing up for them and I wasn't showing up for my family. And I was definitely doing myself a disservice.
Do you do batching at all? Like batch work?
Yeah, everything. Yeah. So when I do my time chunks, everything is batched. It makes everything so much easier. And I feel like I wish I could show you my calendar right now, but I time chunk and I color block and I even use timers for everything. Yeah, I'm a little neurotic about it, about productivity.
I love it. You have to be because I think I find I probably go on the opposite where I give myself too big of a container with no constraints. And when I don't have constraints, I'm completely aimless.
Well, yeah, you spiral. I feel the same way. Like I just sit at my desk and I spiral. I'm like, well, I have so much to do. What do I do? And then I get nothing done. Yeah. So when I'm time chunking, I actually like put in my calendar what I'm doing during that chunk specifically. Like if it's what client I'm working on, if it's group coaching prep, if it's admin or email or bookkeeping, I chunk it all.
I love it. What we've been doing for the last few years is we batch make my son's lunches on Sundays.
Oh.
And so like everything is pretty much made for the entire week, except for like the sandwich that he makes before, like fresh for the day. And so everything, like it's all, he takes him like 2 minutes. He's 13.
That's smart.
And it's all done. And then he just grabs the bag and like throws it in.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I like plan my whole business, like my professional life, but I really should start doing that personally because I do. Yeah. I have kids. That would be useful.
It's so handy. And then it just makes things easier. And even like we've been doing it for meal prep. It's like I'll like marinate chickens and freeze them and then just pull it out in the morning. And I'm like, I've got marinated chicken for the air fryer. So dinner's already made. Yeah. So anywhere
good
I can
idea.
Batch.
I See, love to batch. I need to do that in my personal life. I'm really great at it in my business life, but not personal.
I'm the opposite. I'm going to work on my business. So what are your favorite tools for staying organized in business?
Calendar. I love my Google, like Google Drive, Google Calendar. Google is like my life right now. But I also, I'm going to say one that I bet you not a lot of people would think of, but I used a Toggle. It's a time tracking program. And I use it to track everything that I'm doing so that when I'm planning ahead, I know, okay, well, it takes me, you know, 2 hours to do these two blog posts. I also tell all my clients to use Toggle too, because even when they're coming up with pricing for packaging, I'm like, well, how long did it take you with that last client from start to finish? And then you can kind of figure out your cost of doing business anyways. So Toggle is something I use every day. I also use ClickUp, which is just like a project management system. There's other ones like Asana. I've been using ClickUp lately though, and I really do like it. I can keep track of all my tasks, and they even actually have a time tracking program like portion kind of built into that. Honeybook. I know there's other ones, but I use Honeybook. I love Honeybook. I think back of when I was like a full-time wedding photographer and Honeybook didn't exist and I was writing out my invoices in Word and sending them. So those are like the three or four main tools, like Honeybook, Google, Toggle, and ClickUp. Yeah, I use those several times a day.
I love that. So it's so incredible because I remember when I first got started, like I really, like I was paper, everything paper. Like it was like all my contracts were paper, all of like my calendar, everything. Like if I lost my paper calendar, I was screwed.
I know.
And it happened because I was not organized. So
like, see, and I think about it, I'm like, as business owners now, we're really spoiled. Like thinking back, I actually was just filing my 2021 like files, tax files, financial stuff, and saw like 2013 and 2014 files and they were like so thick because it was like every single thing was printed. I was like shred, shred, shred.
Yes, it's crazy. I love it. Now, what would you say is key to staying on track and achieving what you want for your business? Because it is so easy to start, but staying consistent with your systems can be really tricky.
Yeah, it is very tricky. So, I mean, again, once you burn out, you really realize quickly how these systems can improve your life. So I think you kind of have to hit rock bottom to really want to be consistent.
Yeah.
But for me to stay on track, what I do every year is I actually plan out my entire year. I have these, again, I wish I could show you, but I have these like giant calendar, like by the month. So like huge, like it takes up my entire wall if I put the whole year up. And I plan as far out as in advance. And then I break everything down into smaller tasks. And I think that that helps me, you know, rather than thinking like, oh, I want to plan this thing 8 months from now, if it's broken down into smaller pieces and kind of divvied out throughout the year, it makes it a lot easier. But also I only do 3 things a day. I mean, if I get more done, great. But I know myself enough to know that if I don't accomplish what I set out for that day, I get really disappointed and kind of like hard on myself. So every day I put 3 things on my to-do list. That's it. And if I get done more, great. But then I feel like I've accomplished it and I can stay on track a little easier if the expectations are low.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. It's funny that you mentioned that because I just recently did my whole year. So I had all these calendars in my office and then I put post-its when we're going to have our vacations and like post-its on there because I try to plan my fun first. And then I'm like, and then I plan my work around after that. But what I found fascinating is when you look at it, you realize how little time we have in a year.
Yes, I know.
Right? It was like shocking.
And that's why I feel it's so important to plan in advance, because if you don't, it sneaks up on you so quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love it. So what would you say is the biggest marketing challenge you see for your clients, and how do you help them get over it?
That's a good question. And I have a lot of answers to that one. But I think speaking to photographers in particular, one of the biggest challenges is it's extremely overwhelming and they don't do it. Also, photographers, they don't treat their business like a business either. And so I find what happens with a lot of photographers that I've seen in the past is they treat their marketing like a portfolio rather than as a lead generator. They post a pretty photo of this kid on a beach and they talk, the caption is talking about how, you know, it was warm out and the kid was so well behaved and the mom's hair was beautiful and the sun was setting. Or they post a caption that's like live, love, laughter or something like that. So they treat their marketing like a portfolio rather than really thinking of it as a way of bringing in clients. So for me, I always ask my clients, my marketing clients, how is that serving future clients? How is that serving your future potential business? Is that caption providing value to people looking at you wanting to book? Or are you using your marketing as a way of showcasing your work? Or what I see is sneak peeks, right? Sneak peeks are for the client that you just shot. They're not actually serving potential clients. Potential clients don't really care about sneak peeks. It's not providing anything valuable to them. So I always tell my clients to pay attention to the questions they get. So say, for example, the feedback you're getting from potential clients is like, I don't know what to wear, or I'm worried that my kids are going to be too much trouble for you. Use those questions as a way of serving those potential clients in your strategy. So address that. Hey, you, are you worried about your kid not behaving on the beach? Don't worry, like I love kids and I come with bubbles in my back pocket. And yes, I think that's like the biggest challenge is kind of trying to switch the mindset of using marketing as just a portfolio piece and instead really challenging them to think about what the captions can say and that would really convince somebody like that's the photographer for me in the captions, not just by looking at the picture. So
right. So using it as like a sales and education tool versus just like a pretty picture.
Yeah. And I mean, that's at the root of marketing. That's what it is, right? We're all just trying to get more clients. And I think you can do it, you know, and don't sales pitch after sales pitch. I mean, for me, the golden rule is to serve over sell, but use it as a way of serving them, providing valuable education, calming their nerves, telling them about how great of an experience that they're going to have, not talking about the great experience your past client had.
Right.
And then the other marketing challenge is photographers don't like email marketing lists. So that's my biggest.
I know.
So that, I mean, I could go on and on about email marketing, but I feel like when photographers start their business, the first thing they do is start an Instagram account and a Facebook page, missing huge potential with email marketing.
Well, because we started our photography business or our photography education platform back in 2012. And this was like kind of the Wild West of social media, right?
I bet. Mm-hmm.
But we all have always had the belief of if Facebook and Instagram and all of these platforms went down, mm-hmm. your list is gold.
Yeah.
You need that information.
People don't realize that they're basically building their business on someone else's platform. And that's just crazy to me. No other business would do that.
Yeah.
But yeah. And so I say, start your email list like day one. I always catch people, photographers, 10 years after they started the business and are like, oh, the amount of subscribers you could have had.
Yeah. And even just capturing the leads that come through on your website and funneling mm-hmm. them that into like some, it's like a once a month or once every 6 months email, just something where you're capturing
nurture,
them, right?
Yeah. You have to nurture those relationships from the beginning. And I'm not comfortable doing that on someone else's land.
Yep. 100%. All right. So I believe it's so important for us to discover our own definition of success, because when we don't know where we're going, how do we know that we're going to get there? So I have to ask you, what is your definition of success and what does it mean to you?
It's a good question. Since burning out, my definition has completely changed. Before, if you had asked me, success would have been like a pile of clients, a pile of money. It now means having the time to be successful in the other areas of my life. Being a successful wife, being a successful mom, having great friendships, having the time to bake or read or do whatever it is I want. So for me, that's 100% what success means, is having the systems in my business that allow me to walk away and take part in the other passions that I have. Yeah. I mean, money is great, but at the end of the day, time is you can't get it back. Money I'll always make back.
Yeah. I love that. That's a good answer. I feel the same way. I went through the whole burnout. At one point, it was like being seen and being recognized was like my litmus of success. And then I had a really good conversation with a family friend who's now since passed, and it was all about time, you know, and it truly is like, that's one thing we don't get back.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. And I mean, that is part of the reason why I do what I do in my business, is it's unfortunate that a lot of us need to burn out to learn these lessons, but it is avoidable. You can learn in other ways. And that's why I do my best to try and teach, you know, systems and automations and everything I can possible for a business to be successful without burning out.
I love it. So I think so many photographers are really hesitant to invest in a business coach. So can you share how you helped your clients and why having a coach can help you reach your goals so much faster?
Yeah. So there's so many different methods of coaching and so many different types of coaches. The type of coaching that I do is very action-based. So I'm not like mindset coach. I don't talk about, you know, the fluffy stuff, so to say. I'm very action-based in that I look at my clients' goals, whether they're long-term or they're short-term, and I help my clients break them down into smaller chunks and create very specific plans. So like step one, step two, this is how you're going to do it. If you follow this formula, this ABC is going to happen, or XYZ. So I think photographers feel like they're not going to get something. I think their biggest fear is that they're not going to get something out of it. And so the way that I do it is really learn what they want to get out of it. And then I just help them create the path. So even when we're not together, even after our time is done, they still have the systems and the paths in place to reach the goals, even once they're done paying my invoice at the end of the month. But I really want to help them kind of understand the steps and also figure out what it is that's in their way of reaching those, taking those steps. So often they kind of know more or less what they have to do. Like a lot of the information is, well, everything is available online right now. You can Google like, how do I do this? And it's available. But I think I have really helped to break the steps down and help them understand, because there's a lot of big terms in the marketing world, like sales funnel. No one knows what a sales funnel is. Half the people don't even know what email marketing is. So I think really helping them understand each step along the way and creating that path for them is how I do it. And I think just really telling them that it's action-based and that it's really based on their goals really helps to break through the hesitation. But it is scary. Coaches are often a lot of money and you don't know what you're getting. And I think you really have to understand what type of coach you're working with and if they're the right one for you. Like I said, I'm action-based. I'm not teaching you about money mindset or something like that.
Now, what would you do if you had, say, a new client who was not even sure of their goals yet? Like, where would they start?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think, again, going back to the very roots of it, what is your why and where are you going? So mission statements and vision statements, that's another thing that I find a lot of photographers don't have. So for me, if somebody doesn't know what their goals are, we go all the way right back down to creating a business plan for them, which again is something that photographers do not have. They do not have a business plan. Photographers don't often treat their business like a business. And so that's the very root of it, is let's go back down, create a business plan. Let's figure out what type of clients you want to work with. Who are your competitors? What is your mission statement? What is your why? And what is your vision statement? Because once you know what your vision statement is, once you kind of know what you want to achieve in 1 year or 5 years, then we can be like, okay, well, to get there, these are maybe some goals that we need to put into place. And then how do we break it down even further from there? Really, it's big picture. It's a funnel, big picture, all the way down to like tiny little tasks as far as put this email in place. Like it could be very specific tasks, but I think it's funneling it down is important.
And I think what's like also, I don't think just when you do your business plan once, it's one and done. Like how often should you be like going back and revisiting it?
I mean, I revisit mine once a year because it's constantly changing. And also my strengths, my weaknesses, it all changes. It's all in flux. And that's part of when I work through business plans is kind of figuring out like your strengths, your weakness, opportunities. You know, your SWOT, it's one word I like to throw around that confuses people, or your USP, what is your unique selling proposition? And it all changes. It changes regularly. So I definitely think doing your business plan once a year.
Yeah, I know. Because it's funny, because like I honestly, with my photography business, I probably haven't done a business plan for it in like at least 5 years.
I mean, it's great that you even did one, because I meet very few photographers who have one in place.
Yeah.
Which is interesting, because a photographer... we treat our photography business very poorly. Like most photographers, we don't treat it like a real business, and we want to be seen as a real business, but we really need to go back to the roots and set up these the systems and the business plan and everything like that.
It's so true. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, I love that. So you ready for our lightning round?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Coffee or tea?
Coffee, 100%.
Okay. Last thing you did for yourself as an indulgence?
I bought a Twix bar and I ate it without sharing it.
Yeah.
Did last night. So proud of myself.
Morning person or night owl?
Morning. I get up every day around 5:30. I know. I'm like, I'm in bed by 9:30. I'm like an old lady. Oh,
I love it. I'm trying. I'm trying to train myself to be just like somewhere in between.
Yeah. Somewhere, yeah. 5 a.m. is a little excessive. I don't suggest that.
What did you want to be when you grew up?
A marine biologist, which I can't swim actually, so very ironic.
And did you grow up in Manitoba too?
I grew up, yeah. I'm actually surrounded by lakes. Manitoba's got lakes everywhere. I can't swim. And I was determined to move to Vancouver and be a marine biologist. I was determined.
Which is funny because I actually took in grade 12 marine biology career prep. Oh. And I did not want to be a marine biologist. Oh, I was just the only option that I thought was available to me.
You know, I think that I watched Free Willy a lot when I was a kid. So I think that's where that happened.
I love that. What is your go-to karaoke jam or that song you sing in the car when no one's listening?
Mariah Carey, Fantasy. I don't know why. Always. I'm like a 90s kid. I don't know, that was my jam.
Yeah. What three things do you want to be remembered for?
Being a good cook. So I remember my growing up, my dad spending a lot of time in the kitchen, and I just kind of like, you know, the smells and the sights. And I want my kids to remember me being in the kitchen, which sounds so like dated, no. But whatever. Working hard. You know, I make sure that they see me work. I don't try and work and hide it. I want them to see me working, but not overworking, of course. And good gardening. Ooh. I want them to think of like the stuff that I've made, you know, like,
yeah,
I think of, again, growing up, it's like you remember your grandma's delicious soup, mm-hmm. and you know, you remember spending time in the dirt, and that's what I want. I want that.
I love that. So what do you like to cook the most?
Sourdough. Anything sourdough. I'm really so into
funny.
It.
You're like the second person in 2 days that's been talking to me about sourdough.
Hey, I've been doing it since before it became cool to do. But I love it because it's slow. Like you have to have everything right. It's a slow fermentation. It's not a rushed process. I like the whole like experience of it.
Right. So is it called your, so your starter, does your starter have a name?
Uh-huh. Julie. Yeah. I don't know why, but that's just what it is.
I love it. So is Julie older than COVID?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I love it. Yeah. Yeah. For sure older than COVID. And I make everything with it. I just did sourdough Pop-Tarts for my kids' bake sale and they were like the first to sell out.
I gotta try it. I've been gluten free for about 8 years, so I would love to figure out how to do like a gluten free sourdough.
No, you know, most sourdough though does not have a lot of gluten because the fermentation process eats the gluten. Yeah, a lot of people can have it. You should try it.
Interesting. I will, because I'm not celiac. I just like my naturopath said you should avoid it. So
I'll come down and I'll make you bread and Pop-Tarts.
I love it. Yes, please. So what's for dinner tonight?
Oh, Mexican steak, like doing steak bowls. You know, like with everything in the bowl. So
I love
good.
It. Favorite guilty or not so guilty pleasure?
Books. So I have I buy a lot of books, but I don't read them, which makes them guilty.
Same. It's two hobbies. It's one is a buying book hobby and one is a reading book hobby.
Yeah.
I have the same hobby.
I buy, but I don't read.
I have the same hobby. It's now called a collection.
There you go. Yeah. There you go. Great. That's for sure mine.
I love it. Wow. All my questions are about food today. So what's your favorite comfort food?
Mashed potatoes with lots of butter.
Yeah. Yum. Where do you feel most centered and happy?
You might know of this place, but Tofino is my favorite. Like we go there before COVID, we were going every year for like 6 weeks.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just like the perfect mix of like the ocean, the sand, there's like deep forest there. And there's just like good vibes all around. I love it there.
I love it. Well, Tofino is on, for listeners that don't know where it is, it's on the West Coast on Vancouver Island. And that's actually where I got engaged and where I had my honeymoon.
Oh, fun. Yeah, it's just magical. It's like the furthest west you can go, you know, and it's just beautiful there and secluded.
Yep, I love it too. What are you most grateful for in this season of life?
You know, with all the media scaring me and making me worry about inflation and the egg shortages and the meat shortage, I'm very grateful that we now live on an acreage and I can just like grow my stuff. So that's definitely like, you know, as we're getting out of winter and getting into spring, I'm getting excited for gardening season.
What has been the best piece of business advice you've ever been given?
It's okay to pivot. So I feel like we're really, and I don't know if it's my parents' generation, but I feel like I've really been fed, you know, that you have to like do this job and stick it out, like, you know, work hard and stick it out for the rest of your life. And I had a business coach, actually, ironically, my first client who was a photographer turned into a business coach, but she really encouraged me that, you know, like if you don't love it or if it's not a hell yeah, it's a hell no. And yeah. It's okay to pivot. And I really had to, especially after my burnout, really had to give myself permission to pivot when it's necessary.
Permission to pivot. I love that. What advice do you have for someone just starting out in their photography career?
Treat it like a business. I think I'd say start an email list right from the very beginning and also put a solid business plan in place. And it's okay to pivot. I think those are kind of like the three main things I wish someone told me when I was first starting. And also really get to know who your ideal client is, because a lot of photographers spend a lot of time marketing to the wrong people, working with people they know they shouldn't be working with, or they get those bad vibes from. So just really, really understanding who you want to work with and the type of people and really spending your time on those ones, even showcasing that kind of work on your website. And I think often when I tell people to know who their ideal client is, they're like, well, how do I, you know, because I my advice is always to showcase that work, you know, show your ideal clients on your website and your Instagram. And if you don't already work with those people, start a styled shoot, do whatever it is you got to do to showcase that work and work with those people. Because in the end, it's just your life will be so much easier.
I love that. That's good advice. So where can our listeners learn more from you?
Best spot is my website. My Instagram currently has chicken photos, noellaandres.com. And join one of my email lists, because I do send out a lot of emails that kind of, you know, get to know me. And I provide a lot of like good business value in my emails.
So I love to end my interviews just with this last question. And it is, what are you currently curious about or artistically curious about?
AI. So I'm just curious to see where it takes the photography industry, because I remember when Instagram kind of pivoted and started doing reels and all that, all the photographers were freaking out and, you know, and I don't love it, but it hasn't gone away. And so I'm curious, like what's going to happen now with AI? Like how are photographers going to pivot their work to accept what's going on with the AI? Like AI is everywhere. Like there's software now to call your photos. There's software to write your blog posts, to write your Instagram captions. You can create beautiful images now with AI. So I'm just kind of waiting. I know there's a lot of photographers freaking out about it. I'm just curious to see how we pivot and accept it and what that looks like.
Totally. You know what it reminds me of is like, remember back when like there was film cameras and digital? Mm-hmm. And how like the film photographers are freaking out and everyone's going to die, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, no. And then like we just adopted it and figured out how to use it and how to use it as a tool.
Yeah. And that's exactly it. Like, how are we going to start using AI? You know, I just think we're in an interesting time. It's coming, mm-hmm. whether we like it or not.
Yep.
And I know everybody's worried about it. I mean, even my world marketing, it's, you don't need a copywriter now. You don't need to, like, there's a lot of stuff you don't need now because of it. But I'm just, how are we going to pivot and how is it going to, how are we going to accept it and work with it?
Yeah, I think it's interesting too. I love it. Well, Noella, thank you for joining me today.
Yes, thank you. I'm so happy. I can't wait to hear this all.
Oh, my beautiful friends, thank you so much for tuning into this conversation. I hope you loved it just as much as I did. I am sending you so much of my light and my love today and every single day. We will see you next time. I wanted to take a moment to ask you a little favor. I so appreciate you spending your time with me and tuning in and listening to the show. I would be so incredibly grateful if you could take a quick moment to leave a review on Apple Podcasts. Your review helps other photographers discover the podcast and learn how to grow their own photography businesses and gain confidence to go after their dreams. It also means the world to me personally and helps me know what content you find most helpful. Thank you so much for your support and for being part of our amazing community.